I want to welcome us from our panel session. You know, where I was, it was really explosive. And it was a great discussion. But I want to go to the moment of questions and answers now. Okay, and I believe that we are still going to have a beautiful time. But I want two people to join me so that we can have a robust discussion and interaction. Can we welcome TJ and DJ to just come and join me here? They are going to add some flavor to this session. I want to say thank you, Ma, for the teaching so far, and thank you, sir. We've been really been blessed, and we believe that God still has many things in store for us. But I just want to encourage those of us that are here, don't be afraid. You know, one of the things I gained upstairs there is that some people, the questions, frank questions were asked, and some people are honest to admit, yes, this is true. And I quite believe that the moment you believe that you are sick, you know, one thing with mad people is that they never believe their problem. The day a madman agrees that he's mad, that day his senses come back. So let's be honest to ask questions and let us not be afraid. Those things that you do in the secret, you know, that they are bothering your minds, let them come open. You know, by the time they are open, you push shame to the enemy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So maybe you have something to say before we ask them the questions? Okay. Please, now, if you can't talk, write it down. But I want to encourage you to talk. Yes, can we see our hands up? Our hands up, please. Maybe let's give number for us before we ask them to talk. One, so that we can maximize our time. One. Okay, anybody? Two. Just take number like that. Number one. Number two. Yes, Brother Stephen. Number three. Number four. Good. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. Okay, we have nine now. I think we draw the curtains on that. And we are going to do it this way. 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, we answer the first three, the second three, so we have three moments of answering. And I believe, you know, our pastors, they are here to answer our questions. Yes, number one. Number one, please give mic to number one. Then number two should be getting ready, and then number three. So after that, we answer that, we call the next three, then we trust down. Yes, your question, please.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, I asked the question before, but it wasn't answered. I have two questions. Number one, before I met Christ, it's a question. Before I met Christ, I had a girlfriend, and we had a series of sex. Yes. Now that I have met Christ, what should I do? And the second one is, I'll have to explain that one so that I'll be able to let it out well. Okay. While I was up, we mentioned so many things that upstairs for the guys alone. He talked about some people, it was after they met Christ, that was where or when they fell victim of sin. Example, fornication. Okay, I wasn't shy to raise up mine because I know I admitted I'm a victim of that. And what really made me fall, or what really gave me the push to fall into it, was who I followed, actually. Because I believe they've read a lot about the Word of God, they know Christ very well, and if they say this, I'll believe, okay, yeah, okay, that's what they're saying, okay, I understand. But I followed this, and I made him my mentor. But I will not just mention his name, because I don't want to. I will not mention his name actually. That pastor gave me everything, words, everything I needed. If it was right, maybe by now, or maybe I'll become a man of God too. So I followed everything. I can say his word, itatu, one after the other, everything. But I never knew I followed the wrong path. From my 100 level, let me just say, okay, since I was born till I became, till my 300 level second semester, I was a virgin. Then, after my 300 level, I followed him.
So, insult the person you followed.
Yes.
So, how did you get out?
What happened was, I'll say how I got out.
Okay.
What happened was, I used to sing with, because he's a very good man of God. He preaches and God uses him anytime. So what happened was, I used to sing with, because I'm like his PA, I used to sing with series of girls, ladies all over. Because he was even a lecturer also in Polytechnic. But, Okay. Okay.
Just go straight to the question so that
Okay, so that. I used to sing, but I don't know about this fornication thing in him. But I followed him. He knows how to interact with everybody. So I used to do it also. Then all of a sudden, I fell into it and I became a victim of that. Later, I started doing it, then I was like, So I prayed and God forgave me. And I started going well. I started doing well. And I had a dream concerning him. And the revelation was like, he was called to the altar to preach and he opened his Bible and everything was blank. That was what I saw about him. He opened the Bible, wanted to preach, and everything was blank. I said, God, have mercy. 3 to 4 months later, he was suspended from church. The pastor said he saw so many fishy things in him and about ladies, about money, about this and that. The next person they called was Courage, me. He said, Courage, you are his PA. What can you say about this? I said, sir, I don't know anything about this. I'm his boy. I can just... He can send me anywhere. It wasn't funny for me. But they called me again. What can you do? I don't have anything to say. The second question is to trust me any longer. So I don't really know how to help myself out in that. I don't know what to do because they've been seeing so many character of him or traits of him in me.
So in other words, they want affirmation from you.
Exactly.
Well, really, okay, and you don't know how to approach it.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry, the third one. I'm sorry, sir. The third one. That same church. My pastor likes youth. He loves moving there because he believes they are the generation of tomorrow, their leader. They are the this and that. There's this particular guy that is now reigning now in my church. I know I'm a guy. That guy... I'm not righteous, but he's not. I'm serious.
Okay, your question, please.
And the question is, can I go? I know he's serious of his girlfriend. I know the one he will do this and that. Would I go and meet my general pastor and tell him, I know this boy. To the extent, the guy is very good. He will come to the altar, scabashing, I'll just leave.
So in like, other words, how do you deal with hypocrisy?
Yes. Okay. To the extent, he was given a car in my church. I'm serious, though. He was given a car in my church. How do I? No, it's not even the car that's the problem. Lying to the general overseer, that is the problem. Because I don't like sitting with people that will never say the truth. That's me.
I think we heard you. Now, if you have questions, a bag is being circulated. Just drop your own. Question number two. I believe our pastors are noting that. Let's have 1, 2, 3, then from that we take those questions to them. Number two, please.
Yeah. It's a question, actually.
Okay.
People with high sexual libido, how do they control themselves? Is it by discipline or by prayer?
Okay. Or both?
Yes.
Or both. Okay. How do you control libido? Number three. Yes, okay. Yeah, take mic.
Thank you, sir. My first question is that I know that some of us are... We've gone through some things like molestation. So I want to ask that maybe if somebody has been molested before, how can such person come out of molestation, like the trauma of molestation, maybe through rape or any other thing, like, or So that's one. Then number two, my question is also, how can we manage our emotion in relation with the opposite sex? Because this day, having like there are pressure all around. When you go like in hostels where you stay, you see some people who have girlfriends.
How do we control
control our emotion in relation to opposite sex?
Especially now where you have boys and girls staying together.
Which has become a norm. And then number three, sir.
Okay.
So the which is actually what is very important for me, like when should somebody take a step to say, okay, I want to get engaged now? Is it determined by age? By what
well,
you
I
have?
I think with what Reverend Oki told us now, I think it's a function of how God leads you, not by age. He said at 21, he got engaged. And that's a day maybe you consider young. So in other words, I think he has told us so that we don't belabor that the way God leads you. And he even told us that some people are saying, no, but he said that was what God told him. But the critical thing is that what is God telling you? But he says something. That before then, the question of hearing from God does not start from marriage. It has been a usual experience before you got to that junction.
And the last question, sir, is it a necessity that we start, like, because some relationships start without the knowledge of our fathers and the laws in the church? It starts from the person you said this. So it emanates from, like, friendship and the likes of it. So when should the father in the laws, like our pastors, our father in the law, when should they know about the relationship we are having or we are building with opposite sex
Praise
or with a
Lord.
Sister in the church?
Well, our pastors are here, they will answer those questions. Yes. But there are just one of them I will just say before we go to the next, and especially those that have been addressed. I think Pastor Oki said something. He said, I don't know whether it's mommy that said it, that the significant others about that you have fathers. He said before he even did something, he has told the father that I want to do this. But I think the usual thing is to say in a church, an organized church, that there are discipline. Before you proceed further, tell the significant others in your life. Tell your pastors, tell your parents, and then be guided in that way. And I think pastor has said that several times. So I think that will answer that question. Maybe I will now go to mommy, Mrs. Ola, and Reverend Olugmude to help us. Sex before marriage. Okay? No, let's trust those questions first. We know so that we don't lose track. Let's try, finish with those three. Then we come to the next three and next three and things like that. Now, sex before marriage, they've been having sex before marriage, and before having sex, now they can't be born again. What's the next thing? What's the next thing?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Please, I will want my husband to answer that question.
Okay.
I think I was there when he asked that question upstairs. And I want to relate this story of somebody who had that kind of similar experience. They were together, in the world. They were having sex and doing all sorts of things together. And both of them came to the church. And then they gave their life to Christ. The church got to know about their relationship before they gave their life to Christ and broke the relationship and told them, please, you can't relate with one another again. And they complied, they obeyed. It was after 4 years when they saw the fruit of genuine repentance in them that the pastor now called them and said, okay, now we can see that you are a child of God and you are bringing forth the fruit. Do you still love one another? They asked both of them, and eventually they allowed them to marry. But in all of this, the truth of the matter is that you should separate, break. If any man is in Christ, is a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. You need to go back to your father now. Who is my wife? Show me your wife. And then start, open a new chapter.
Thank you. I think I also have a similar experience, a man of God. He's a man of God today. But years back, we were in the same church before. They asked them to separate. They separated. And years back, they came back together again. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, the other question is that the affirmation of what our brother said, this is what our brother raised. What should he do? Should he just go and say, this thing you are saying is true? You know, how is he going to handle it? Yes, Pastor, sir. Okay. Okay, it's okay. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Please permit me to sit down. Okay, praise the Lord. I think you are talking about the fact that you see the things your pastor is doing.
Yeah.
You know the strings of girlfriend is having.
Yeah.
Brother, expose the devil. Our problem in the body of Christ is that we are keeping quiet too much. How can you be preaching on the altar? I know that you just left the house of a lady. I know the girlfriend. What kind of tongue are you backing on the altar? I've had a situation that the man of God had to go and meet, some men had to go and meet Baba Billy Akoni and told him this is the kind of things our pastor is doing so that the Billy Akoni can attack it from the top. It doesn't necessarily have to show that it's from you. Tell a reputable man of God. Let them know what is happening. Sometimes ago during the lockdown, a lady had to message me and said that she was the secretary in the church office. Her pastor was throwing chances at her. She was somebody that was revered in the house of the pastor, like a daughter, like an adopted daughter. Pastor there fed by force, to the extent that the pastor was almost raping her in the church office. So she came, she messaged me and told me, what should I do? I handed it over to my husband. We did a research on the man. We attended his online service and saw all the things he was doing. Then we decided that we are going to, we told the lady, we said, just to make sure that she was telling us the truth because we are not there, that next time she's going to the office, she should do a recording. And she did a recording. The recording is still on my phone. Don't come and take my phone. No. You will not know where it is. So we knew that we had an evidence against the man. And my husband called him. We got his name. We got his number. We got everything. Two numbers. And my husband called him anonymously and told him, you are delving your hands into sin. And we know what you are doing. In fact, the person I told in Lagos said, I know the man. We are storming his church. I said, no, wait. Let's handle it from there. So there is no use covering wickedness. When we continue to cover wickedness, it will multiply. You will think it will not come to you. It may be your daughters. So the earlier we expose the iniquity, the better. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Now, brother, have you read maybe Galatians chapter 2, the incident between Paul and Peter? It happens that Peter, you know, Jews and things like that, he came and he was like denying the Gentiles. What did Paul do? Paul said, I have to speak to his face. Even Barnabas was almost carried away. I told him, Peter, this thing you are doing is not right. Can you imagine Paul to Peter? Praise the Lord. What the next question is about still on him, maybe this thought is last question.
Sorry, sir. I just want to bring something. We idolize our mass pastors. That was the mistake you made. We turned them into demigods. They are not. It is the God in them that we are honoring. And if they are not showing the God in them, we stop the honor. That's why I have a fair idea the kind of church you are talking about. I don't want to say it. I fear what when Jesus comes, will he find faith? Just because your pastor, quote and unquote, oh wake up, oh bonk by, oh you know, oh dress out, oh dress by perfume, and you are now following all that one hook, line, and sinker. Once they are not showing fruit of righteousness, you make a U-turn immediately. We don't idolize any pastor. We only honor God. As they are honoring God, we now honor them. But if they are dishonoring God, no honor.
Let me just balance it up here. I have been a patron of Family Altar Federal Poly Advocacy for almost 26 years now. And there was this brother who was the president of the Family Altar. And he was committed to a church in Ekiti. And they noticed that a set man of that church was playing games with one of the sisters living with them. The pastor was the one sponsoring our education. But the sister told them that you know, pastor has been making advances, harassing her in his office and all of that. And they came to me and said, if that man, if it came out that he committed adultery, that so many believers in that town will fall. Because he was the one that brought revival to that town. That many of them that are now standing Christian, they were standing Christian because of that pastor. That even up to now, his work, you know, is the revival work that he's doing is affecting communities. That they don't want him to fall. So they came to me and said, what can they do? And I said, there's no problem. Give me the number of the man of God. After praying, now I want you to note the way those brethren handled it. We need wisdom to be able to handle things like that. Because we need to be careful so that we will not just undo it carelessly and we get a negative result instead of getting a positive result. So I called a man of God. Instead of condemning him, I told him about my own challenges over the years and how God has helped me, that we need to be careful. Lest when we have ministered to others, we also become a castaway. So I told him all the challenges I've had. I've been pastoring for 22 years. I told him, and it's a youth church, you know, 95% students. So after telling me, and I told him that some people who love you in your church came to me and told me this. And how do we handle it? And he said, it is God that has sent you to me. That I've been struggling with this issue. I didn't know how to address it. The more I try, anointed man of God. And okay, let us discuss, how are we going to handle it? I said, the first thing is that this girl must leave your house. Send her to another town. Give her accommodation. Let her go and continue her education there. Let the church be responsible for taking care of her. If that is the ministry God has given to you, and you need to discuss with your wife, I have this problem. Please, I have this problem. So we need to be careful the way we handle it. We don't just, the pastor is preaching and go to the altar and say, give me the microphone, you are a useless man of God. And you know the one I saw in Sister Rose's room yesterday. So we need wisdom to, because instead of getting the positive result, and everything we do must give glory to God.
Maybe, sir, maybe you just, can just tie it up with how do we control libido? Somebody asked that question. I think that told us the other time that men, it's advisable you wear tight pants. You know, when you are going to your maybe fiance. So, sir, how do we, control libido? Somebody asked that question, sexual libido, you know, urge.
Okay. My favorite scripture, just like our two guest ministers, they have spoken to us. The glory of God is in us, and that is Jesus in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is inside of us. And the Bible tells us that he is the one that wills and help us to do the will of God. He help us. He must be, when he's inside of you, even when your body is gree, you know, the Holy Spirit inside of you, the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you will give you self-control to be able to overcome such pressure. So it's not by wearing tight pants. It's not by wearing tight pants. Just yielding yourself to the nodding of the Holy Spirit. This is a no-go area for you, my son. This is a no-go area for you, my daughter. You know? Self-discipline, self-control. And I think we need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit inside. Whatever we do. We need to submit to. It's the one that helps us to do the will of God. If you want to do it by wearing tight pants, you will fail. By your effort, you will fail. By closing your eyes, I don't want to look at a lady. I always tell my students when they come to my office, I tell you, I don't trust myself. So I open my door. Okay. Immediately, a lady enters into my office, I open my door. I say, I don't trust myself.
Thank you, sir.
I have had a situation that, you know, some of these sisters, they want to lure me into sex. But I just said, take it cool, I'm coming. I will not return back to that office that day again.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. I think he has told us 2 points now. First of all, giving ourselves to God and also taking some practical steps. Okay? Don't just lock yourself alone. And I think that also can affect what Stephen has. How do you control your emotions? Now, if you and a lady, you share the same room, there is no way you can control your emotions. So the best form of you controlling emotion is to separate. Don't live together when you are not married. Otherwise, except you are not human being again. So I think that settles that. Now, I had that experience, what daddy said now, when before I got married. You know, one fast came to my mind, and that said to me that night, if the spirit that raised Christ from death is in me, that spirit will quicken my mortal body. I just recited that fast of the scripture, many times, and that was it. Praise the Lord. Well, the next, somebody out of being molested, sexual molestation, rape, and you are emotionally down, how do we handle that?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Maybe before they gave their lives to Christ, or even after, I've had to be raped. Maybe by Christians or non-Christians. The first way out is not to hide it. Just, you know, the other time when I was speaking, I said one of the glories we have as young people is that we have fathers. We have people we are responsible to. We have people we can run to. You will be deceiving yourself to think you can handle every sexual challenge you have. That's why God has placed some people around you. And one of the ways to be free is to expose it. The power of sin is broken when it is exposed. As long as you keep it secret, you have no power over it. I remember a young lady came to me, and she was an undergraduate, and she told me right from her secondary school days, she had been a lesbian, involved in masturbation. And then she told me, I want to be free. Born again. He's a Christian. She said, how do I get free? I said, now that you have told me, that's part of the freedom. 50% you are free. I said, when does it happen? How does it happen? She said, it just comes on me like that, and I feel it, and I start. I said, the next time it comes on you, call me. I said, you are free to call me anytime. If you have no credit, flash me, I will call you. And I told my wife about it. I said, somebody can call me any moment, any time of the day or the night. And you know, one night she called me about 2 a.m. And she was telling me in a hushed tone, I'm ready to do it. I want to masturbate now. And I said, no, you can't do it. And we began to talk and we prayed together. And she was the first person I saw in my office the following day. You know what she said? I didn't do it. And you know what? That went on, not for days, not for weeks, months. We were talking. And one day she returned from school. And she said, do you know what? I've not called you because it has never happened again. Now, there are sometimes such powers are broken once. They just pray for you. Sometimes it's gradual. Whichever method God chooses. But the first thing is, expose it. One of the young men around me some years ago told me how, this a boy, a young man, a graduate at that time, he was raped by somebody he looked up onto as an aunt. And that severally. And he told me, we're driving from Malaysia to Akure. He said, this thing I'm telling you, I've never told anybody in my life. I said, about it now. He said, as long as I'm not seeing her, it will never happen. And let me tell you something. Once you expose something and you break off, you stop it from happening, from repeating itself. There is this scripture in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. It said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Some of us, we make provision for the flesh to express itself. We give the flesh room. We give the flesh opportunity. You heard our pastor say, sometimes a lady enters into his office, and what does he do? He opens all the doors and the windows. Not because he's afraid of falling, but he's just saying, look, I must not give room for the flesh. The flesh cannot be trusted. So expose it. There are things you will not do in the public, but you do in the secret. And that's why we tell people, you don't You don't share in a room with the opposite sex all alone. You are given opportunity for your flesh, for his flesh to operate. You go to read together in a private room all through the night. You give the devil an opportunity. You watch certain films together, and it's not Mount Zion film. Sylvester Stallone's film. All kinds of films. And today's films are full of pornography. And then you are there. You are exposing yourself. The things you watch, the things you listen to, the books you read. And you see, your age is a digital age, like I said earlier on. The things like temptations in your time are stronger than in our times. It's available everywhere. Our culture cannot stop us again. In our days, our culture will stop us. You say, in Yoruba, we don't do this. But today, there's no culture again. The world is one village. And that's why you don't give room. Don't give rooms for some things to happen around you. You were engaged, you were in a relationship before, like he said, you asked that question, we have not addressed it. And you are born again now. What do? Break off. Sometimes you have to be radical in your approach. We are too cool. We just gloss over some things, we pretend as if. No, you must be radical. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Break away from that unholy relationship. Tell that young man, tell that young woman, now I have given my life to Christ, I'm a new creature, I don't want to indulge in such things again. I'm sorry for whatever happened between us in times past, now no more. You know why? Because if you keep seeing each other, you will keep falling. A woman ran to my house, a pastor now, in a Pentecostal church. She was coming from an occasion, a ceremony, funeral ceremony. Met her old school friend, boyfriend. She said, we did so many things together in those days. But now, I'm not just born again, I'm a pastor. And we saw, as I speak to you now, I'm feeling guilty. I don't know how to face my husband. Did he touch you? He said, we didn't have sex, but we did all kinds of things together. Just like that? That's a pastor. If you have done it together before, the tendency is that it can repeat itself. So you break away, you cut off. I'm not interested again. And that's why earlier on I said, you run. In this case, to run is not that you are weak. In fact, it is strength. Just run. I don't want to see you. Run.
Thank you, sir.
Don't speak in tongues. Don't look. I have friends who fasted. They were engaged, they were doing all kinds of, and then they said, we don't want to do it again. They fasted, and after they fasted, they broke the fast, and they also had it again.
Thank you, sir.
Wrong.
Okay, before we call the other question, the still on sexual, thank you, molestation. Now, I want you to read about Joyce Meyer, so that people that have been molested, they have come out of it, and they are fine. They are doing fine, doing well. So do that. Then also about you telling your pastor, I think pastor has also mentioned some of that. We need to recognize that, of course, our pastors are married, they won't ask you not, you know. But the essence of you telling pastor is to safeguard your life. It's for your own good. And I think we should begin to see as, okay, a way of guiding my life, not a way of unnecessarily having the control over my life. If you begin to see that way, we know. Last week, my nephew, it's his niece now, the husband-to-be, they came to our house, and I remember the day she told me she was going to see them there. I said, where are you going? Who knows them? Well, so that I don't deny you, I called my cousin, who is in that place where she says she was going, interview these people for before you allow her to see them. And that saves a lot of stress. So, in a way, if pastor has seen, tell pastor, it's just to safeguard our lives. Let me tell you this story. We know Pastor Koya. The day they came here, they came to teach us about what I take home to my mom or something like that. Now, Mrs. Koya called me one day. She said, do you know so-so-so-so, who is a member of Sanctuary of Hope and also a medical doctor in Health Center? I know many people in Net Center. I call them, there's no name like that. Sanctuary of Hope, I call my friends there, there's nobody like that. He said, the niece wanted, there is this guy who proposed to the niece, I think they made it on social media, and she wanted to confirm. Eventually, we discovered that it was a fake. Now, if that lady has not taken that step of telling Mrs. Koya, and Mrs. Koya taking pains to interact with people that are likely to know that place, the lady could have fought for it. So when pastor says, let your pastor know, let your parents, let them know, is to safeguard our lives so that we are already in safe hands. Praise the Lord. Question number 4, 5, and 6. Yes, okay. 4, 5, and 6. Just come forward and ask your question like that. I think this one came for before those who wrote. Those who are bold should be given opportunity first.
My question is, I was in a relationship, and in the relationship, I didn't have peace, which means God was not in it. So from there, I learned how God speaks to his children. When God speaks, you notice that there is peace in what you hear. So I had to leave the relationship. So after a lot of time of living, I prayed to God, my marital life and all. So this guy came and, okay, it's not like I had God speak that, okay, this is the person, or I had a dream, or this is the person. But I shall notice that anytime I talk to the person, there is always peace. But this person is not my spec. Yeah, so it doesn't mean that God's will might not always be what you want, or it's not just it.
Thank you, Bob, for being honest. Number five. I know, I like that. People that are honest. He says, not my spec. But some of you will just say, you won't tell the truth.
Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. First of all, I want to say thank you for this program. And my question goes thus. Normally, this kind of gathering is not just normal. Let me just put it like that. We, if not because of some reasons, we won't have this gathering. And for youths of this age, I'm so sorry to say this, that I think it is something that is lacking. Because we as youths, maybe let me just say 20 and above. Let me put it as maybe 23 and above. We are that, yes, I know we have people around 20 here, but 23 and above, at least we are eligible for marriage. According to law, I think it's 21. I'm not so sure. But 23 and above, we are eligible for marriage. Most times, it seems we are not well equipped for marriage. According to statistics, 2019, I think we had the highest number of failed marriage in Nigeria, because I think maybe up to 80%+ of marriage that was registered at the federal level, even at the state level, yes, they were already asking for divorce. So, as youths, we as Christian brothers and sisters, yeah, we grow up in the church. But why is it a taboo for us to have this kind of gathering, for it to be common? Because I think this question was raised at Synod. In every African home, you see, you can't even discuss topics like this. Sit your mommy down or your daddy. I don't think I ever had that kind. Okay, my yes, I don't think I ever had this kind of conversation with my parents. And I'm very sure it's very applicable to most people here. You don't. And this boils down to, okay, yes, most of us, we don't have our parents here. Most of us, we are students. This boils down to the church. We get more devoted in our spiritual life, even more than the way we get devoted in family. You see people leaving family events for church programs. So my question is that, why does it sound like a taboo? We have religious brothers here. They will come to church. Yes.
Thank you. I think Pastor have heard. Number six, please. Number six, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Mark. Good afternoon, sir. Okay, my question is, it came up during our CNET talk show. And the question is it that the church is becoming judgmental or is it that adults are becoming more righteous? Because, you know, why the question that was just answered now, Daddy said something like that, we have our fathers to run to. The question is, do we really have our parents to run to? Because you know that some of us, our parents might not be born again, and then we'll be left with the adult of the church. And you know, the issue, because I've seen several friends that came to me and we discussed this, is that if we can't talk to those that we are supposed to talk to, and we talk to those that are like peer groups, then we give us the little they know and we'll follow the one we get. So, something like that, sir.
Elders are not listening. They are not, maybe no, there's no connection. Okay, so let's trust those three first. The first one is, this is my spec, this is my standard. Okay. Thank you. Well, maybe let me give Daddy that. Okay. Oh, a woman, okay, Lord. That's good.
Praise the Lord. Please, if you don't mind, I would like to take that along with the relationship of parents with the children.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so sis, I don't know what your spec is, but as long as it's not God's spec, because we have God's spec, and I think we discussed that, then your spec does not really matter. Because most of the time, and frankly speaking, this is one of the reasons why we have a lot of ladies left, because you just feel as if, shame. How can they see me with this person? You know? But let me tell you one thing, sister. When we were coming down today, and we took this Ife road, we didn't come from this angle. We came, from Oshu, you know that? And my husband said, he remembered the time when we got married and things were not okay, that he will have, can I say that? Am I free to say it? It's too late for you to say no anyway. So I remember the time that we will have only transportation and he will have to take transport from Ado-Ekiti to Lagos, knowing that he will be able to get food stuff. And he said there was a particular time they got to a garage, he was very hungry, but he saw something he could not buy because the only money was on him was the money that would take him to Lagos. And we, the members, I, the wife, and the children, will be waiting. Or maybe one, maybe we had only one child or so then. I remembered when we had the naming of a particular child, that it was the salt that was given us, left over from the naming, that my husband carried to the market to sell. Youth of nowadays, you don't want to suffer. You want made men. If you have not worked for it, you don't have any right to enjoy it. That's just the long and short of the matter. Somebody else will prepare a food. You want to come down and sit and eat. You don't want to prepare your own food. You don't want to narrate your own story of her. Even if that is not what you're saying, well, that generalizes it. But when we talk of spec too, unless the spec, that is one aspect, darling. Is that a looter there? Let there not be a looter in the house of God. All right? I'm just saying generally. Do you understand? I'm not saying specifically. But another spec we have, like we talked about, you are in the choir, you want a guy that could sing. We said that. And the guy that is there is the one that parks cars outside and he comes to propose. Okay, you are a man and the lady has pimples all over her face. Thank God. That is why we have Mary Kay, to cover for some things. So what I'm trying to say is that as long as that individual is born again genuinely, has a relationship with God, he deserves a chance. Yes. And God is leading you. The guy is born again. And that is why we say, that's why I said in our class, ladies, that the fact that he's not tall, the fact that he does not speak correct English, if he's born again, he will enter heaven. Yes, it is not the... I know a lady that when they were cutting, the man entered bombing, and this lady read English at exu oyinbo enu e ma play pelu e but brother yen se lo ma fi words pe yes. Even me, that was her friend, I was afraid for her. But they are happily married. And the funny thing is that the brother is now a pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. A zona pastor. And they have a beautiful marriage. And now when you hear the English in the mouth of the brother, brother, to wake up. Oh, you boy, to step up. So, all these specs that we see, the first spec you should look for is the character of God, the nature of God, the relationship with God, and the fact that he's born again. If he's born again, it's due for consideration. Then that seals that. Then I want to talk about the aspect of when you are saying, my lady here, we're saying we don't have a kind of relationship with our parents. When we say that one of the glory we have is that we have the access to fathers. I always say that the Bible says God sets the solitary in families. Everywhere you go, there is a typical father. There is a set mother. As a youth, as you are here, God will never leave you fatherless or motherless. What if you are an orphan, or you are motherless, or you don't even know who gave birth to you? But what God does is that he will definitely set a father and a mother in your vicinity. They don't have necessarily be your blood. So what you need to do is to submit yourself. Our problem there is submission. Because then you want what we have, but you are not ready to give yourself. You are not ready to give relationship. How many of our pastors here do you know their house? How many of you related with as a father? You relate with us as pastors, but not as a father. Then from our own personal example, God helped me. I discovered that if I don't get close to my children, I will lose them. That's for us parents, and I know that we already know that. That we lose them. So what we need to do is to be parents, friends, and besties. Let them come, if they commit any error, let them be able to come back home and say, mommy, this is what I have done. Daddy, this is what I have done. Knowing that they will not be condemned. But you too, on your own side, omotoba, let me say it this way, the omo that she passed, I want us to say it, okay. You know, the omo that she pass is the one that the mother will base. Okay? So when you shipa, we your parents, we will also bear you.
Thank you, mommy. But I have one observation, ma. You said youth of nowadays. Maybe I would just say youth generally. Because in our own time, well, as a student, I'm also a youth, but remember that. Let me give this practical experience. 1993, we were in final year, and my friend and this lady, they were in the same department, history department, to be specific. Now, the brother was a year senior, we were classmates, and the brother went to meet the sister, and the sister said, no, you read history. I'm also in history. Teacher will marry teacher, God forbid. Eventually, a pharmacist came, and the sister agreed. Now, but as God will have it, this friend I'm about today is the professor. Shortly after that, he was employed in OAU here. And shortly after that, Obasanjo came and they increased lecturer's money. And the day the lady went to my friend's office, I was there in Ado Ekiti. I came down to Ife, I met her there. As he was saying, you know, it was then, I don't know the things will be like this for you. But as at that time, the pharmacy was just in one of the local pharmacy stores here, yeah, working there, where that one is. So it was a funny story. Anytime I hear that story. But remember that day we were writing the final exam, my friend was in front of the library here. I said, brother, you better follow your study and read very well. Eventually, he agreed and went to study and came out with first class. And that was to where he is today. So nobody knows tomorrow. Okay. Praise the Lord. So it has always been youth characteristics. Okay, Daddy, want to say something?
Yes. The lady that asked that question mentioned a specific word which I want us to note as parents, and that is judgmental. I noticed that in our own church, they prefer to talk to invited guests and open up to them than to open up to us. And I've noticed over the years that the problem we have been having is you want to when you are preaching and you are under anointing, sometimes you use some of the story you've heard about them as illustration and example. You are clapping. And because of that, they are afraid that I don't want them to make me as illustration on the pulpit. That is why they are talking about being judgmental. And sometimes we need to, you know, understand with their generation. Really, we didn't face this kind of problem. The problem they are facing in this generation is 100% more than our own. If you don't go to a film house, you won't watch blue film in those days. But now, anytime you want to watch it, you can watch it. So I want to appeal to parents. Let us be more understanding. Don't let us provoke them. Let us be more understanding so that they can trust us that Tomba got a lofara panta, Tomba de, one day to my fee, bam, taba my fee, pa, abba my fee, dear, no, but at least you will take them out of that problem. Kukisha to mama rojo, one kakiri, we are, oh, this is started like Bajato and choir, you know, shele, oh, shetong. Let us be more sympathetic with them and then don't let us be judgmental. Praise the Lord.
I think this is, we're having a very balanced meeting today, and I hope that my youth, they will be happy about that, that they are not the only one being corrected, they are also speaking to the elders. Praise the Lord. Okay, sir.
Yes, I just want to add to the contribution. Now, the sister that asked the question about her spec, there is nothing wrong. You have your desire. That's the truth. Every young man has a picture of the lady he wants for a wife. That's the truth. And the same thing goes for our sisters. You have a picture of whom your husband should be, his appearance, how he should look. There's nothing wrong with that. But the moment you are praying, what you are saying is that, Lord, I want your will, not my will. Your will, not my will. If you carry an idol in your heart as a husband to the Lord, it will be difficult for you to receive. And that's why when you come to the Lord about issues of whom to marry, be open-minded. Don't fix anybody and say, God, I want a brother like this. One brother described the kind of sister he wanted, and I told him, this kind of sister doesn't exist anywhere in the world. That's the truth. But you see, if you still believe God chooses, you know, some don't believe God still chooses. They believe whatever you want, he gives you, so just desire anybody. But that's not true. God still gives you your spouse. He says, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from whom? In another place, it says, a good wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. In another place, it says, a faithful man who can find. And that's why the best place to search for what you call your life partner is to go to God. And don't go to God with any idol in your heart. When I wanted to get engaged, sincerely speaking, there were several people on my mind. But the moment I began to pray, I wanted God's will. I had my specs. But look, in prayer, your specs die. And God tells you exactly whom he wanted for you. And could you believe, when I got engaged to my wife, if you asked me at that time, what did I like in her? I really didn't know. Because what I wanted was God's will. But if you see my wife today, you will know I got it right. So, just remove any idol in your heart and say, Lord, look, so many sisters came to my heart. But the more I prayed, some would stay 2 days, some 3 days, some 1 week, they would go. But I kept praying until I became sure over and over again. And I had to talk to people. Let me tell you, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It's not that you are intelligent, you are smart. But let me tell you, God has placed elders around you. When I talked about fathers, I'm not just talking about your biological fathers. There were people, as a young man, I felt responsible to. I reported to them. And to today, I still report to them. Not one, not two, not three. So I asked a lady, we were in a place, a lady was asked, who is your mentor?
And she opened her mouth. She said, John Maxwell. I said, come on with John Maxwell. You came to me for counseling. You said, do you know John Maxwell? Is it not me you run to? Look, don't look for a mentor far away. Look for a mentor where you are. Run to them. Look, I have four children. All of them are different. And it depends on the way they relate with me that I also relate with them. If your pastor doesn't come to you, go to your pastor. If there is a woman you love, your heart goes with her in the church that you can take as your mother, run to her. When my wife was still a teacher in a secondary school, one boy, young boy, he said, you look like my mother. Till today, he's a doctor till today. And the boy still relates with my wife as his mother. In fact, sometimes they will talk and say, ah, kilo de shobe by omini. But that boy just found that, look, this one looks like my mother that I lost many years ago. And this is a replacement. So look for these people. If they don't come to you, they don't ask for any question, go to them. Go to their houses. Go to their offices. As a young boy, when I was in courtship, there were 2-3 people in UI I could run to. And that's why some of us had a pure courtship. Because I would tell myself, if I messed up, what will I tell Dr. This? What will I tell Mr. This? What will I tell that uncle? What will I tell that auntie? So I just say, shall I behave?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
7, 8, 9. Okay, we've answered this question, this one. I think maybe we can start reading the ones here. Yeah? 7, 8, 9, have you answered them?
No.
Okay. Okay, the one here, Sammy. Okay, well, I think Pastor has noted that. So, well, we have more of that. We have more confirmation on that. I think we should just begin to read the one that has been written now.
Maybe I can give an advice. In our church, every first Sunday for the past 22 years now, we call it Single Sunday. And my wife has been handling that for 22 years. Everything concerning youth. That is what we do. And people from other churches will also come to because they know they are going to be blessed. So that will keep them informed regularly so that they will not fall into errors.
Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Hello? Okay, can you hear me? Okay, this is off. Okay, let me first. I have someone very close to me that has involved herself in an unclean relationship. I tried talking to her, but she's still not yielding. I'm always praying for her. Please, what else can I do? I think you've done all. I don't know whether she's born again or not, but you said unclean. That means maybe she's born again and she's involving herself in what is not. So please continue to pray for her. Then if you have, like we said, we have emphasized, if she's in your fellowship or in your church and you feel that she will need counseling, you can encourage her to take counsel. Whatever opportunity you have, you can harness it for her. I prayed for years for a friend of mine. Years, every year since secondary school. She got born again after she got married. All right? So we don't give up on them. We keep praying and believing God to just show them mercy. Praise the name of the Lord. Can I just finish the
yes,
one I have?
You will.
Okay. I won't say I'm born again. Oh, wow. Why are you not born again? But maybe I might need rededication. But I have not had any sexual escapades, but have dated 2 girls. One wanted me to sleep with her, but maybe I was scared. I didn't. My question now is, there is a girl who is always like getting naughty. And I don't know how to tell her off because she's my favorite friend. I just try to laugh it up. God bless you, my brother. Thank you for being so frank. That's one thing I've enjoyed in this church. Can we put our hands together for ourselves? Yes. Thank God Pastor Shola has said it, that we should, be bold about what we need to declare. I want to advise you, the first thing is to rededicate your life to Christ. Find yourself with God. Develop a relationship with God. Thank God because your conscience is helping you now, but it may fail you later. So you need something stronger than that. You need God to give you the backing. Then you don't rub sin on the head. okay? Like Pastor has said, you need to put your foot down and tell the girl off. Tell the girl you are not interested in that relationship. Otherwise, you will meet yourself where you are not supposed to be. She may be your best friend, but she doesn't have your interest at heart. She's not your soulmate. She doesn't have the interest of your soul at heart. Praise God. Have I done justice to that? Define the relationship, yes. How do you separate your emotions from prayers? Pastor Dr. Olugunde, this is your Lord. Praise God. You know, sometimes when wives are getting weak, they hand over to their husbands. How do we solve the issue of lust before going into, I think we have spoken extensively about lust before going into relationship. I think you need to set boundaries. Boundaries are very, very important. God is not saying don't have sex. He's saying wait until the right time. Has he not done well enough? I think he has done well enough. He's saying wait until the right time and at the appropriate time, the legal time. Then if you want to have sex Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, twice a day, 10 times a day, oh, go ahead. You have not committed any sin. But all he's saying is that don't do it yet. So before going into a relationship, you really need to settle this matter in your heart and be open. I have a friend that is very, very open with, sis, anytime we come together, I don't like the chemistry. I think we need to see less. And the sister is like, you are right. Let's be meeting in pastor's house. We don't need to meet alone again. I think that is being sensible. You want to honor God. So you agree about it. If you want to, so are we honoring God in this relationship? Yes. It's a mutual, understanding between the two of us. As an undergraduate, is it right to keep or have relationship with the opposite sex? I think it's okay to have friendship. Okay? But you define it, as we have said. We have spoken about this. When an opposite sex is giving you gifts, unnecessarily, is it time to just be it is good to just be receiving the gifts all the time? No, the Bible said the gift blinds the eyes. A gift, blinds the eyes. So if you know that there is something else that is not, it is, the person is looking for something. Like my husband will say, ask him, what are you looking for? You define it. And I don't think it is wise for a lady to always receive things. It eventually could be a sneer to you. It can blind you. Because he has been sponsoring me. I really don't want to do this. How will it sound like? So don't put yourself in that situation. And finally, this is off place. But I want to say that one of the questions raised at our own whatever was the fact that there are scarce holy brothers. That holy brothers are scarce in the church. That they just want to sample you and get away. That they are not dedicated. So I want to say that this is what I always advocate and what we are trying to do too. We have been teaching the girls since they were in nursery school, since they were in Sunday school. And we're Deborah, and we're Hannah, and we're Girls Guide, and we're Girls Brigade. We have been teaching them everything. But remember that song, Mommy in the kitchen cooking rice, Daddy in the parlor watching film. This time around in the Christendom, Deborah is in the kitchen helping mommy. John is outside playing football. On a Sunday morning, on a regular Sunday morning at Ajilosun in Adoekiti, you will see all the Samuels and the Tunde and the Jacob, they are playing football. Where will you see the Annas and the Pelumis and the Deborahs? They are in the choir, they are in the ushering unit, they are there and there. So we need to pay more attention to our brothers. The sisters are complaining, sir. Our sisters didn't complain, but our brothers in church were dedicated. But the ladies, they have been tied down. So I think we need to have more personal, not just sisters program. Sister. You know, we have a lot of sisters program. We don't have a lot of brothers program, even as married. Our no man saw everything. That's one of the things we have been advocating in the scripture union. Over there, our men need to hear the truth. Then they also need to teach the men need to teach the boys. You are a boy, if you are not, sorry.
They need to teach the guys what they need to do and teach them to be responsible. So attention should not shift completely, but you should also direct and train our guys so that my daughter will not go outside and be looking for a boy to marry. She will marry somebody in the church that is dedicated. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. The first question here. Why do we find it difficult to abstain from sex when you try it once, even when you are born again? Now, that's a very serious one. Why do we? He's not just speaking for himself or for herself, speaking for everybody. Why do we find it difficult to abstain from sex after tasting it once? Now, the truth is this. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Ordinarily, your determination cannot help you out. We have seen people who said, I will never do it again, and they did it again and again. We have seen people who curse themselves. They place themselves under a curse just to ensure they abstain. But they didn't abstain. So what's the way out? One thing we said during the brothers program before we finished was that, look, there is a need to fortify yourself spiritually. Otherwise, you keep falling repeatedly. Spiritual strength. There is this scripture in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 10. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. When you are finding it difficult to abstain from sexual sin, your strength is small. You need to fortify yourself with the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? He said, but by taking it thereunto according to your word. He said, yeah, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The more of the word of God you read, the more of prayer you pray, the stronger you become spiritually. And the better you are in overcoming sexual temptations. How do you look when you eat the normal food we eat, our rice, our beans? What happens? You have what? Energy. You have strength. Sometimes when you are fasting and you just take half a glass of Coca-Cola, your strength returns. But how does it happen that your strength just comes like that? You don't know, you don't understand. And can I tell you this? When you read your Bible, when you pray, you are receiving spiritual strength. And that's why the best thing to do to avoid being frustrated, being disappointed, is that go and strengthen yourself spiritually. Number two, like we have always said, break off totally. Don't assume anything. Break off. Run. Keep yourself total. Just run and say, look, I have nothing to do with this anymore. Because the moment you see the person, you committed the sin together before, and the environment permits that, you are down. And your frustration continues. So the best thing, break off totally. Even if the person is a believer like you, look, if you need to change your church and relocate to another place, just run. Just run, because if you are serious about it, you will just say, this is the best thing you can do for yourself. Number three, pray. I remember as a young man, engaged. One thing I did was to be praying for myself from time to time. I remember one day I was praying, I was an undergraduate, that Lord keep me from sexual sin. I said, keep me as the apple of your eyes. Guess what I had the Holy Spirit saying to me? He said, keep yourself as the apple of my eye. In other words, it's not just about God, it's also about you. God, keep me as the apple of your eye. I'm the apple of your eye. God said, keep yourself as the apple of my eye. If you know you have a future, if you know you have something to do for God, keep yourself pure. Run. And that was what Joseph considered. Joseph looked at the pleasure of living in sexual sin with Potiphar's wife, and then looked at the glory of his future, and he made a choice. He said, I will run. This thing will disturb me. This thing will hinder me. And he ran. May God give you a picture of your glorious future. That will help you to run away from sin. You will not say it's difficult again, because God's strength is on the inside of you. And just like mommy just said a while ago, he said, brothers are not strong. Our brothers are not proving to us as sisters in the church that they know what they are doing, they know what they are going. And that's a message for every brother here. Go and be spiritual. Go and read your Bible. Go and be prayerful. Stay with the word of God. Be committed to God. And then some of those things that are avenues to that fuel your flesh, cut them off from your life and start feeding on the word of God. Praise the Lord. The second question. I have a constant fear that I may not do excellently in my relationship if I enter into one. I haven't been in any relationship, though, but I'm scared of entering into one. I don't know what is causing this fear. What can I do? That's just fear. We call it fear of the unknown. You don't really know the basis for this. Now, sometimes what you see around you could cause it. I've seen a young lady, the mother told me I should talk to her to get interested in marriage. And when I spoke with this lady, she told me her parents' marriage has discouraged her and that she has made up her mind never to get married. And I had to speak to her severally to overcome that. Don't allow what you see around you to affect you. You are different. You are different. I tell people, I'm different. I'm not like every other person. So remove that fear in your heart. Fear is not of God. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Everything we do is by faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. Let me tell you, getting married is by faith. When I got engaged to my wife, you know what I told myself after she accepted? Mowo. And then, like that, forever, I'm married. So I cannot marry another person. That's the truth. You have entered. And let me tell you, there is no way you will not exercise fear, but you enter it by faith. And you just go on by faith. And that's why you knock out fear in your heart. Knock out the fear. You say, fear has torment. Chase out that fear in your heart and move on. Because fear will hold you down. Fear will tell you will not marry. Fear will tell you there is no good man. There is no good woman. There is no good wife. There is no good husband. Fear will tell you you should not be interested in marriage. But knock out that fear in your heart and tell yourself you will not fall. You will not fall into the hand of a wrong man. You will not fall into the hand of a wrong woman. You will not carry whom you should not carry. Just remove that fear and live by faith. Every aspect of the Christian life is by faith. There is nothing we do out of whatever we have known. So cast out the fear in your heart. The third question. I used to be in a relationship. The relationship came to an end recently due to various reasons. But we are not told the various reasons here. The problem now is it feels like an addiction. I want to know how he is doing, what he is doing. I practically stalk him on social media. I've prayed, but I'm finding it hard to overcome this addiction. What should I do that I'm not doing? Now, I don't know what happened in the course of that relationship, but can I tell you this? When you are in a relationship with somebody for an appreciable length of time and you break off, and you are alone, you will miss him or you will miss her. That's the truth. What you've been doing together for some time, the person that has been there for you is no longer there for you. You will miss him, you will miss her. Now, sometimes in a relationship like that, when sexual sin is involved, it's a bigger problem. Because sexual sin is like a covenant. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. In sex, two people become one. And like I said to our brothers upstairs the other time, when you go into sexual relation with somebody, a covenant has been struck. Whatever covenant he or she had before that relationship, you have entered into it through sex. Whatever you share it, whatever curse the person is carrying, you have shared in the curse. Whatever demon is in his life, you have shared in that demon. That's the truth. And that's why sometimes you call it an addiction. Your mind can't just be taken away from it. You still wish you are back. You still wish you are still in the same relationship. It's because of what you have done together. And that's why sometimes, for those who have been involved in such sexual relationship, there is need for deliverance. There is need to break that covenant. My former secretary in my office, a young lady just opened up to me one day, and she told me she was in a relationship, and the relationship was wrong. They did so many things together, it was a wrong relationship. That particular guy wasn't born again, did not know Christ, was just an hypocrite. And I said to her in my office, that relationship has come to an end now. I said, do you agree? Grudgingly, she accepted. I said, but that's not all. Right in my presence, you are going to call him. And you tell him the relationship has ended. After much persuasion, she was able to do that. And I said, we will pray. I thought it was going to be a joke. It was a real deliverance session. But thank God, she agreed. She's happily married to a Christian now. Doing very well. She was my secretary in the office at that time. But if once you go into some things, you may say, we didn't go anywhere, we didn't say anything, but you know, we just, like boyfriend, girlfriend, let me tell you, it's a contract, it's an agreement, it's a covenant. And it's more than, what you get is more than what you bargain for. And that's why it's not what people trivialize, what people say, oh, it doesn't matter. It matters a lot. And that's why he said, for so many reasons, the thing broke up, but your heart is still with him. Your heart is still with her. The thing broke up, but you are still following him or her everywhere. Something is wrong. It's an attachment, and it must be broken. You describe it like an addiction. You know something you are addicted to? It's beyond you. It's no longer about you. Because another power is behind it. And you need to be prayed for, you need to be ministered unto, and you need to start all over again with God. And like I said, don't forget, you need to fortify yourself with the word of God. You need to pray. You need to draw closer to God. And one problem, some of these problems we're talking about, all will be solved if we know God better. If you draw closer to God and God draws closer to you, you will live a better life. Relationship with God, once it is sound, you will have no problem with relating with any other person. It's a follow peace with all men and with the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Let your relationship with God be sound, and you discover every other relationship is likely going to be sound. Praise the Lord. I think we can go to the last one. I am in a relationship. The person is a believer. The relationship is close to a year now. And then I ask the person. I told him to let us pray about the relationship. And he said we should not. After a year. That we should start again. Okay. All right. I am in a relationship. The person is a believer. So both of them are believers. The relationship is close to a year now. And then, I asked the person. I told him to let us pray about the relationship. And he said we should not. That we should start a ministry first. Work together for God first. And after that, we can pray about it. I'm confused. You are not confused. And don't know what to do. What should I do? Now, it's clear. You don't need a prophet. You started a relationship without prayer. In the middle of it, you are asking for prayer. He's saying no. And the next thing is, let's start a ministry. Let's work together. Look, the foundation is faulty. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I will advise you to run away. Run for your life. Break off. Somebody who is not helping you to draw closer to God, who is saying we should not pray, who is not interested in whether it's the will of God or the will of man, and you want to go with the person? You think that person can be your leader? You think that person can be the father of your children? You think he can be the head of the house? Every woman is looking for a man he can look up to. Do you think that man, you can look up to him? Now, you have not even prayed about it. He's dribbling you. What if you enter into his house and you contract, you consume the relationship? What will it be? The best thing is, the right time to end the relationship is now. 1 year is enough to discover it's not the will of God. And can I say this, please? And I'll keep saying it. If you enter into a relationship, put your relationship under somebody that can guide you. Let me tell you, if you want your relationship to last, let them see somebody they can be. If the guy is not afraid of you, let him be afraid of your pastor. Let him be afraid of your pastor. No, they don't see anybody good around you. They don't see your pastor around you. And let me tell you, when your pastor sees the man or the woman, without praying, he can know whether it's correct or not correct. He doesn't need to pray. Just seeing the person and the way they are saying, you are in trouble, my friend. Run. And let me tell you, don't be afraid of going to elders to tell you whether you are right or you are wrong. Till today, I have several people in Akure, not in Lagos. You can't be living in Akure and be having mentors in Lagos. Like the one who had mentor in US. John Maswell doesn't know him, know her. Me that know her, she's denying me. And I say, my friend. So look for somebody. Let him stay with your pastor for one night. They will know the kind of person he is. He can't pretend for long. Praise the Lord.
Come a long way, and we are ending this this session now to go to a moment of prayer. Where I believe there have been many revelations during this time of question and answer. And I think maybe last comment I make is that there's a revelation from somebody's question here. He said, once they get into sexual relationship, why is it difficult to break away? For those of you that are yet to be there, you've seen the experience now, it's always difficult to break away. So I will just advise you, don't just bother to venture into it. So that's a big lesson for us today. And I pray that God is going to help us, God is going to strengthen us, and we're going to become better. Everyone of us seated here, we are going to have wonderful relationship, wonderful family in Jesus' name. Now I want to say big thank you to our mommy and daddies. God bless you.